Praise God, praise God. Well, welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. Are you excited? I am. I'm excited. Our pastor and Minister Gerald made it back safely. We're happy about that. And they did some powerful work over there, and he was telling me today how pastor just brought the word forth in such power and anointing over there, and he's a little bit under the weather tonight, but I'm sure he'll be here on Sunday and ready to tell you more about what happened. Amen? Amen. So we have Brother Gerald Alford. He's going to share with us tonight. And amen? Amen? So I have the privilege of introducing him. I've known Brother Alford for a long, long time. I've known him at least 30 years. I met him 30 years ago, and we worked in ministry together 30 years ago, and he was a minister when I met him. So he's been toiling in the vineyard for a long time, long time. I remember those days at Key Road Prison, and he used to be in that old, he used to have to drive an old Camaro, and we would stuff the speakers for the service in that little Camaro, and we had these big speakers, and he used to make me carry them, but either way, he had a powerful word back then. He's been ministering on Tuesday night right here at Cross Culture. I mean, Tuesday at noon right here on Cross Culture at Cross Culture Church, and powerful Bible study at Tuesday at noon. He just completed a spiritual growth class where he was teaching on the Book of Romans. Powerful brother of God. I've known him a long time, like I said. So his name, we know, is Minister Gerald Alford. I want to welcome him tonight. Give him a hand as he comes.
Hallelujah. Well, I am at home, so I feel pretty good here. I first want to do a short prayer, and then I want to get right into it. I have endeavored to try to consolidate a lot of what happened in 7 days into what I'm going to speak about tonight. So, you know, trying to compress all of that down into a 45-minute session is going to be a little tough, but I'm going to do the best that I can do. So if you all will bow your heads with me for just a little bit. Father, I just ask right now that you lay me down and then pick me back up and pour out that you have put in. Lord, let the words that come out of my mouth be even as it does out of yours, and it will go out to your people who are good ground, and that it will not return void, but it's going to accomplish that which you please and prosper into where it is sent. I thank you right now for the great expectation that they have, and I know that they will not be disappointed because it's all about you and not about me. I take authority over everything that is not like God that will try to hinder, inhibit, or hold back this word that's going to go forth with power and clarity. I thank you for it right now and call it done by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right, to be specific, I went and met Pastor in Johannesburg, South Africa, and he was on fire when I got there. When I met him, he was already blazing. He had been to Cape Town and all around to some areas in there, and he was preaching the good news of the gospel and bringing forth a message that has resonated within me for a while. So when I met with him, he said, "You ready?" And I said, "I've been ready. I've been ready a long time." He and I had been trying to work our schedules out to minister together, and I was just excited to be there to carry his Bible, to be there to sit and watch him preach. Because I want you to understand, it's different when you're overseas than it is when you're here. The expectations that the people have overseas is about 30 times what you expect. you come to church and you say, okay, give it to me and then I'm going to get it and go. Well, when you get there, they have an expectation of sitting there and they're like, I need all of it. I don't want part of it. I don't want a fraction of it. I want all of it because my life depends on it. And see, whereas we have hospitals to go to and we have friends we can call on and we got money in the bank and 401ks and we got property and we got all these other things, there's a whole group of people that don't have what you have. And so their attitude about the Spirit of God and the power of God is, trust me, a lot different than yours. So let me try to start into this. Pastor has a vision here at this church, and we all know what it is, but the bridging the gap part is good. The changing mindsets is what I want to talk about tonight, and the transforming culture into the standard of Christ. So in doing that, Pastor made a statement, and he has talked about it for a while, and that is that Christ is the sum of every people group. All right. Then he says, no, Christ is the summation of all that is good. Of all that is good. So when we think about what is good, then there's only one thing that is good, and that's God. So in looking at that, let me talk about what I saw. What I saw when I got there was a people that needed to have a purpose and a vision. It was not about the fact that they were free from apartheid. The other part was that they needed to have a come together. And that's where Pastor came in, because the word that he has of changing mindsets and transforming the culture was brought out in every message that he preached. So let me start the journey. So the first group that we had a chance to talk to were pastors. So we had pastors from all around in South Africa, and they all had different size ministries. They all had different goals. Just as pastor has a goal and a vision for this house, you had different pastors and groups, and they all had visions, but all one vision from God, right? Okay, so when he got there, he called everybody together, and when he got up, he started to talk about the message, seeing Africa through God's eyes. That was his message, seeing Africa through God's eyes. And so he told them, I want you to understand that God has a vision and a laser focus for Africa, but you need to see what God is seeing. Everybody in their mind has their own vision. They got something that they're thinking about, a goal that they're trying to attain. They have something in the back of their mind that they want to see happen, right? Everybody has a goal in here, right? You have something you have an expectation of to happen, whether it is to benefit you or your children or whoever, your family. So you got a vision, but it's all about you and us getting to see what God is seeing. All right? So let me move from not exactly what Pastor said, but let me just show you the vision about seeing. In John 3:3, it says, you cannot even see the kingdom until you're born again. Right? So do you know what you're looking at if you're not born again? You're looking at a worldview and a look that's very dim on life. And it's dictated to you by your culture. It's dictated to you by what you put in front of your eyes, like TV, like books, like movies, right? Or by people that you think are important, right? Whatever idol or whatever superior power that you put up, that's what you're seeing. And so that's your goal. That's whatever they're putting out is what you see. So if the enemy is controlling the TV, he's controlling the radio, he's controlling the newspapers, then you are being led by him. So number one, you got to be born again. Now, I'm not talking to a group here that's not, and if you're not, we're going to work on that. But let me just say, a lot of this message is going to be a lot more susceptible to those who are already looking but need a little bit more clarity in their vision. All right? So let us talk about tonight seeing the world, not just South Africa, but seeing the world through God's eyes. So number one, you can't see him anything unless you get born again. All right? So now that you're born again, the next question is, what's next? I don't know if any of you have that question in your head, but I want to answer the question. What's next is God. And you say, well, how's that helping me? It should, because you need to stop looking at you and start to look at God. You need to stop looking at other people and start looking at God. Because you cannot measure where you are according to somebody else. You need to have your measurement from God. Your question is, Lord, am I where you want me to be? Because that person that you're looking at, they have to ask the exact same question. Well, don't worry about them. You need to be worrying about you. Where are you in your spiritual journey? Where are you in your experience with God? Where are you in understanding God's revelation of his word, and where has that taken you so far? So let us do a little self-examination. Are you examining now where you are? And then kind of back up a little bit and look and say, am I really farther now spiritually than I was a month ago, a year ago, right? So if you're not where you believe that you ought to be, your conversation next should be with God and say, I need more revelation. I need more clarity. And so you and God need to spend a little bit more time together. All right? So in order to see through God's eyes, don't you think that you need to spend some more time with him? Because he will show you if you spend time. God is not a God that makes you do anything. So, but if you have an expectation that he will show you, he will lead you and guide you into all truth, he will make his presence to be with you, he will bring revelation knowledge, then that's the only way that it's going to happen. So I'm talking to you tonight about seeing. So what is going to have to take place for you to see? Is first of all, you're going to have some relationship. And then when you have relationship, that takes time. And in that time, how much are you giving to the relationship? How much time are you giving to the relationship? If you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, then how much time would you give to them? And then let's look at where you are in the relationship. When it first starts out, you get really excited, so you want to talk to them every day. Okay, y'all not in relationships? Maybe I'm not talking to the right group. All right, let me talk over on this side. When you start out in a relationship, you want to talk, right? And then you want to find out things, right? And then you want to try to make some memories, right? You want to laugh and you want to talk and you want things to start to now line up, right? None of that changes with God. So if you call your friend because you want to know how they're doing on a regular basis, God wants you to call him 10 times more. Because God is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. God is the one that can alleviate you from problems. He's your burden bearer, heavy load sharer. He will love you when you are not so lovely. Hello. So I'm just telling you, in order to get this seeing through God's eyes, you're going to have to spend time. That's through prayer. That's through meditation. And I'm going to leave it with praise and worship, because we've been talking about that lately. you know, your praise and worship is going to be dictated by how much you appreciate it, huh? About what's been demonstrated, then that's going to elevate your praise. You know, I know where he brought me from, and I, when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. So when I get to thinking about my testimony, a praise is going to rise up. You know, something's going to get disturbed when I think about where he brought me from. And when I go out there and look that I do have something to drive. And when I look in the closet, I got something to wear. And am I talking to the right group? Okay, all right. But anyway, let's move on to this seeing thing. So while I'm in South Africa and pastor's talking to this group of leaders here, he tells them that they should be looking at South Africa through God's eyes. So, you know, they're sitting here now going, how can we do that? And he proceeds to tell them exactly how they can do that. And one of the things that he shared with them was, you can't worry about what's going on in government because God is going to work it out through you. And they looked at each other. He says, now, what you all ought to do is to come together and then pray about things in the government and watch God work through you to get the things done. So they're looking at each other because the meeting that we attended is the meeting that they have every week. They come, all the pastors come every week, and they talk about things. Pastor said, you got to do a little bit more than talking about these things. You got to pray about some things. And then he broke down the word prophecy. Now, I have my own version of prophecy, so I was really excited when he gave me his version of prophecy. He says, prophecy is defined as God speaking to you from the past that you do not know about the present that you are in right now, about the future that you are about to experience. So when you get a prophetic word, that prophetic word has already taken into consideration that you have already experienced past what you know. Past what you know. Because it was God that called you forth. You did not ask to be born. You did not ask for the family that you have. You did not ask for any talent, ability, skill, or gift that you know or you have not yet discovered. So it's all about God. In the beginning was God, right? So you were not there. So when God speaks to you in a prophetic way, he's already taken into consideration everything from the start to all the way where you are right now. So that should be number one. When the prophecy comes to you, you say, God, you got me. Of course he has you. He knew from the start who you were. He knew you even before you were born. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb and then gave you everything that you needed at that point. So now that you understand that he know that part and he's looking at where you are right now, your expectation should be now, what's in my future? Right? Do you have at least this much expectation about what's in your future? Can I give you some exciting news? God has great expectations concerning you. God has great expectations concerning you. Right? If you don't know it, I'm telling you, let me reiterate the fact. God has great expectations concerning you. He does. He's given you, number one, everything that pertaineth unto life and godliness. He's given you talents, abilities, skills, and gifts. He's given you his son. He's given you the Holy Spirit that'll lead you and guide you in all truth to bring back to your remembrance everything the Spirit has said. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you even until the end. What are you worrying about? What are you so concerned about? He said, I'll set a table out there in the midst of your enemies and feed you in front of them. And you wondering how you gonna make it from day to day. You wondering how come this ain't working out and that ain't working out. Your patience will allow God to go out there and do that work for you and to get it done. You got to see it through his eyes. not yours. Your eyes are looking at it incorrectly. Really, because you need a prophetic word to get you to the next level. I just gave you a prophetic word. All right, I'm going to keep working with this because it's going to work. I got good news. God got great expectations for you. He does. God started you on your way when the light of Christ was revealed to you and you accepted it. God put your feet on a journey, and all you got to do is hold on, trust God, and don't lose hope. So I can't preach pastor's message to the leaders because I'm sure he's going to do that. But I'm just going to talk to y'all about what I got. So that's the best I can do. All right. Now, these are some notes that I've taken. The next spot that we went to was a church. This was Sunday morning. There were about 1,800 or so people in the church. And they were on fire for God. Everybody said fire. When we got in there, they were praising God like there was no tomorrow. I mean, they were, the praise and worship leaders were sweating. They were in it so hard. I mean, they gave God every bit of what they had. It wasn't a half praise. It wasn't a light praise. They were in it to win it. I mean, they were going to touch the heart of God because they loved him. They were touching the heart of God because they were appreciative of what he had done for them and what they was expecting for him to do to them, said to them. So when you come to church, are you expecting for God to do something to you? Did you bring a praise with you because you had an expectation that he was going to do something to you? We always want him to do something for us. But we need to be expecting that he's going to do something to us. I want him to touch me when I come to church. I want to feel his tangible presence. I don't want to come and just say I had church. I want to come and say I experienced the touch of God in my life. So somebody had an expectation. And when I got there, it reminded me of the 90s. When people were running to church, when they stayed on their knees, church be going, folk preaching, and they still on their knees. They weren't worrying about what you said or what's going on. They were having their own personal thing, and God was working with them. And wasn't nobody talking about why they still down there. On their knees, don't they know they need to be in that? They need to be where God is touching them and keep experiencing the power of God in their life. So I'm over, we come in, boy, now here's the interesting part about that. They were singing in a tongue that I did not know. But the song that they were singing was touching my heart. It wasn't mattering that I didn't know what they were saying. I could feel what they were singing. All I was doing was just rocking with them. And when they got a bounce, I got a bounce with them. Because it don't matter about the tongue. It'll matter about the feeling. It'll matter. They were touching God and I was touching him my way. They were touching him his way. And we were all together in one place. Oh my God. It was something. I got a note here. I witnessed and sensed, felt, and enjoyed the presence of God. I mean, from the time I stepped in there to when I left. And they don't worry about how many songs they sing, and they don't worry about how much time it takes. Everybody gonna get what they came for. Hello, somebody. So I didn't see anybody looking at their watch. I didn't see anybody scratching their head. I didn't see anybody looking around. They were all into the power of God. So let me just give you one short nugget, maybe two, of the message that pastor preached to them. He talked about being delivered. And he started out in Jeremiah 8. And he went into Jeremiah when they were asking the question, is there a deliverer to be found? All right? So we know who that deliverer was. But the question was, can one be found? And who is our deliverer? Jesus. So Pastor broke that thing down about the word deliverance means to bring in and hand over. So when you're delivered, you come in and give yourself. Yeah. So then that's how you're delivered. You're delivered out of the situation over into the hands of God. And so when he got to dealing with that thing, everybody was looking, and I got excited because I said, I'm so glad that I've been delivered, right? And you are not going to be delivered until you surrender. And then after you surrender, you got to let him bring you over. So now some of y'all done got to the part where you want to be delivered, but you don't want to be brought over. I know I'm talking to another group because this being video, so I'm talking to those that are going to be looking at this. Then understand that if you give yourself to God, he's going to bring you over and out. So he says to hand you over, the next part is to provide something that was promised. What was promised? Do y'all know what God promised you? Do I have some Bible students in here? I hear eternal life. What else did he promise you? Salvation. What else did he promise you? Sanctification. What else did he promise you? Peace that passes all understanding. He promised you a lot. What is it that you need that he's promised you? Huh? But now, you say everything, but there's only some things that you need specific to the time reference that you are at that time. So if I'm lonely, I need love. Huh? So if I'm burdened down, I need to be uplifted. Did he not say he's a burden bearer, heavy load sharer? He's the one that you can bring all things that concern you to him, right? He's concerned about everything, even the number of hairs on your head. Hello, somebody. So, yeah, he can do everything, but you don't need everything all the time. Some things you need specifically. So in your life right now, I want you to think about what it is that you need right now and know that God will deliver you. If you give yourself over to him, that you need will be granted to you because he has promised it. Pastor wore that thing out. He wore it out. He walked up and down. Now, I got some videos. Y'all come Sunday, you're going to get to see him preaching because I took videos. I wanted to write things down, but I figured I was smart enough to let the video get it. Then that way I could go back and listen to it over and over and over again. Hello, somebody. So I did provide that for you. I took some good videos. So let me move on. He went to talking about how desperately do we want God? How desperately do we want him? I can't speak for you, but my intensity level has increased about 10 times since I heard that message and since I witnessed the expectation from somebody that had to have it. Okay, let me give you some examples because sometimes y'all be looking at me. We don't realize health until we go and see somebody that do not have it. We get a real feel for it when we sitting up there in a hospital or in an ICU unit. We get a value for life at that point. Other than that, we just floating around here. And we take for granted that our feet move right and everything's going good. And, you know, but when we see somebody else that's not, then we get a different feel about that thing, right? So I want us to understand that we got a lot to be thankful for. And that now what should be that you desperately want and need? And need. If you're complacent about where you are, you got a problem. Because you and God are not close. I can tell you that right now. Don't wait till something happens before you and God get connected in a more intense way. Don't wait for something to be lost in your life that then now you run into God. Run to him every day. Stay close to him every day. Become desperate for the things of God. Become desperate. Because when you are, you will take nothing for chance. You won't take anything for chance. You'll enjoy every moment when you have a desperation for him. He said, when you seek me, you shall find me. So are you really seeking him? You really seeking him? He talked about in Exodus 3 and 9, he was talking about how God heard the cries of his people, and then he sent Moses. All right? When you cry out, God is going to send you what you need. Huh? Now, it may not be exactly sometimes what you're looking for when it comes, but I guarantee you it's going to do what it's supposed to do when it get there. Because we have this thing that where we want to tell God how to bring it. Or we would love to see it come this particular way because we want it the easy way. If the doctor prescribes some cough medicine, we want the cherry flavor. Okay, all right. Let me move on. I don't want to mess with y'all. In everything that God is doing, there's always a problem. Do you all know what the problem is? Us. All right. Now let me deal with Moses here, because your middle name is Moses. I would give you the first name, but you know y'all want to keep y'all first name, so I say your middle name is Moses. God has allowed you your life. And in the part of your life that he's allowed, you've had some challenges in it, which has provided you muscle power and strength. If you go to the gym and want to get buffed up, it's going to require pain. Hello, somebody. When you go in there and you look at those machines, you don't see muscle mass built up. You see lineament and hurting and everything. But you get it in the end. Do you get it in the beginning? Right. So you think about it before you go in here. Do I want to pay this money for this pain to get the reward for definition? Because you're going to have to pay the price for the definition. Right? Okay, so here we are. God prepared Moses, and his birth wasn't all that right. And so in between him being in Pharaoh's house as a baby, he went through a few challenges. I just want to say all of us have gone through a few challenges. So he gets to Pharaoh's house, and things get to be okay for him, right? He gets to hobnob with the rich and famous. He gets a little education. He gets his dress changes. He went from whatever he was wrapped up in to some fine linen. And you know, God done prepped him, but all the time that this was going on, there was something else coming. So while it's looking good right now, says something's coming. Oh, it's coming, all right. So here God touches him and said to him, I need for you to do something for me. First thing he says is, who, me? Did you read the story? Am I talking to a Bible group? I know this Bible study, but I am assuming that you know about Moses. All right? So he said, me, I can't talk. He started looking at himself instead of looking at God.
Will you all stop looking at you and what you think is a weakness and a situation in your life that would hinder you from doing what God has ordained you to do before the foundations of the world? Y'all looking at a circumstance but not looking at a God that has already overcome. All he's doing is waiting on you to understand that he's already taken care of it. You're the one that's holding up the progress by standing there scratching your head and thinking, I'm not going to be able to do it because. Because what? Because you don't look a certain way? Because you don't possess a certain thing? If God can make water come out of rock, what do you think you got a problem with? Hello, somebody. I know I'm talking to the group that's looking at this live through the stream. And I'm not talking to this group because y'all really have an understanding of this thing. So Moses did not know who he was. But God explained to him who he was. Because he said, who should I tell this man that you've given me instructions to go and talk to who's not going to like what I tell him? Hello, do y'all understand what was going on? The man that he was getting ready to tell what God told him was not going to like the words that he heard that came out of that mouth. So he said, I need to have a validation about who it is that told me to tell this man that. Right? I need to know who it is that's got this kind of authority to tell me to tell him that, because I could lose my life. But what happens when you work with God? God said you need to lose it anyway because I gave you life in the first place. You need to come out of yourself and do what I tell you to do because I'm the one that gave you your life in the first place. You don't worry about who God tell you to talk to. You worry about how your mouth gonna form out and say them words that he gave you, because that's what it's all about. What God give you to do has nothing to do with you. It's all about him. God picks the vessels that he want to use. Stop looking at yourself and look at the God that creates worlds, that brings suns up and down, that make water fall out of the sky. Let me get back to my subject. You don't know who you are. God gives definition to our life. The next thing he taught, see, I could stay over there, but then God... Pastor threw out another nugget. He said, and I want you to hold on to your seats when I tell you this one. He said, the application of truth rightly divided brings light. I fell back in my seat. They are going nuts. I'm thinking, I had I got all kind of little stars and asterisks down here. The application of truth rightly divided brings light. God looks for a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't divide it if you don't have it. Hello, somebody. You got to have the truth to divide it. You got to be hungry for it and be looking for it to get it. Are you rushing to get here on Wednesday? Are you excited about coming on Sunday? Do you have personal devotion time that you have dedicated to getting revelation knowledge of the word? Pastor said, we are like prisms. You know what a prism is? A prism takes light, and when the light comes through the prism, it goes out and shows a multitude of colors. He said, when God gives us the word and we rightly divide it, if we go where he tells us to go and do what he tells us to do, the right amount of light that somebody who's blind need to see will come out of you. So here we are walking prisms, rightly dividing God's word that's radiating out, that'll touch everybody that needs the correct color at the right time. Oh my God, I'm like, now I see why I am important to God. See, when you look at that scripture where it says we are the salt of the earth, that's just another way of looking at it. The world is bland. It's void of anything really tasty. So in order for it to get right, it needs a little salt in it. Now, I would break salt down, but I got to move on. But I want you to understand, I'm just using that as an illustration. People that don't know God are walking around in the dark. Right? They do not know what they're doing because their eyes have been what? Blinded by the wicked one. You come in here backwards. Hello, somebody. You come in here not knowing God, not wanting to know God. You come in here and it's all about me. Right? Babies want what they want. Immature folk want what they want. Hello, somebody. Selfish people want what they want. And you're going to be selfish until you know God, because God takes you out of self. Hello, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man or woman be in Christ, they'll become a new creation. Old things, selfishness, hatred, holding grudges. Y'all want me to get some more? Y'all know what it is. All that stuff go, and then God starts to transform you, and then you start having some more fruit, better fruit, that's going to start coming off your tree, because what was coming off your tree before was not good. Right? So now you got some fruit of the Spirit that started to come out, but that's only when you get in the Spirit. Right? So you cannot be in the Spirit. He said, now you're not going to get anything if you're in the flesh, but you're going to get everything when you start getting in the Spirit. All of those things that you knew. Oh my God. He said a diamond is rough until it's polished. But boy, when it get to be polished, it blings and everybody like it when they see it. I got a couple of them myself. I like them. I like them because the light is really beautiful that pops off of them, right? How much light popping off you? Just a question. Don't hit me. We have a cause, and the cause that we have is to glorify God through the word which was given to us. We are going to be held accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. Not only when I say every word, it says every idle word. So I want God to put some words in me to replace some words that I already have had hanging around. You were born to complete an assignment from God. Man, he wore that thing out. I got to move on. The establishment by grace is the step to multiple blessings that are needed to help us reach that higher calling. Pastor told them, people, your expectation is too low. I did some self-examination. My expectation is too low. What I think that God can do is this big compared to what he wants to do, which is this big. Can I show you how it is? Your expectation about what he can do is this big. What he wants to do is this big. Did he not say he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can what? Ask or think. So we're not talking about what you're asking about. I'm talking about what you're thinking about. And your thinking level is too low. I'm going to say it again. Your thinking level is too low. Everybody that met Jesus' life changed, not for a little bit, but it changed this much. Just look. Any character, anybody that you read about, when they experienced God, their life expanded exponentially. Huh? You got to get out of the way. You got to get out of the way. Because God got some big plans for you, but you standing in the way. Can I tell you how to get out of the way? Get out of the mirror. Get out of the mirror. Because you looking not at a transformed person, but you looking at yourself. You got to look through God's eyes, which was the title of this message, and see the transformed man or woman that you looking at. Your expectation is too low. I got sacrifice down here. Death to the flesh to live. Sensitivity to the Spirit of God causes us, during our praise and worship, to move forward in the things of God. When you're praising and worshiping God and you get out of yourself, God is going to start to minister to you from this night forward in a different way. So now what has to change in this equation? Your praise and worship now has got to change. It's got to. Say it must. I don't believe y'all. I'm going to turn the page because I got about a few more minutes. And can we go to Jeremiah 1 and 5? And I'm going to do my very best in this that I thank God that I possess to get into it. Let me kind of get myself together while. Boy, y'all got it quick. I don't hear any pages turning. Y'all got Jeremiah 1? Come on. Oh, okay. That's 8. I want. Will you come over? Man, come on. There we go. All right. 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest out of the womb, I did what? Sanctified you and ordained you a prophet. Unto who? Don't be scared. Don't let that bother you. Did you read the first part? So if you read the first part, don't worry about the end. He took care of everything in the beginning. You want me to read again? I want y'all to. Before I formed you, do y'all assignment? You need to look up that word new. You need to look it up. New. That, boy, it, new has a connotation. As I had a relationship with you. Huh? And in all of that loving and all of that with you, I imparted some things unto you. Oh my God. He loved me even back then and gave me what I needed even before I got here. Then, while I was not even in there yet, he set me apart. I wasn't even in there yet, and he had a place for me. He set me apart for his use even before he put me in there. Oh, my God. Not only that, wait. Not only that, then he ordained me. He didn't just set me apart. He qualified me to do it. He ordained me. So what are you looking at in the mirror? You need to understand what you see. I'm just trying to help you see who you really are from God's perspective. Ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, let me move fast. Then said I, O Lord, behold, I can't speak, for I am a child. He already knew that. He already knew that. You understand that? He already knew that. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings shall I bring forth. You don't have to worry about whether you're a child or not. If God tells you to do something, do it. You young folks have no idea what God has qualified you for because you keep looking in the mirror and you don't look at God. You did not ask to be born. You did not ask for the parents that you have. It is God who knew you even before you were conceived. God says to you, say not that I'm a child. Y'all think he was just talking to Moses right then? I'm talking about Moses. I'm talking about you. Jeremiah ain't got nothing to do with it. Y'all so funny. Y'all trying to put everybody in there and not put you in there. Right? Wasn't that cute? You reading Jeremiah. I'm reading you. Who is this written for? Huh? So y'all thought that was funny? Let me show you how funny. Let me show you what funny is. That you should do what? Go to all that I send you. Laugh now. Huh? And whatever I command thee, thou shalt. Y'all ain't laughing now. Because who is he talking to now? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee. Or I am with thee to deliver thee. Well, y'all have jumped ahead on that. We back to delivery, right? Do y'all know what delivery is? All right, we got delivery part, right? Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said unto me, behold, I have put. So you worry about what you're going to say. Why are you worried about what you're going to say when he has put his word in your mouth? Now, did not the scripture say, let the word be a light? Huh? So if he put the word in your mouth and that word went down, it went down into that prism. And when it went down into that prism, and you rightly divide that word that he'd have put in your mouth that went down to the prism, what's going to happen? That light of revelation is going to come forth. I'm going to have to close because when I get to 10, that's where Pastor tore up the church. Literally, tore it up. Because if you read these next verses here, it's going to get deep.
and I only got a few more minutes, and I cannot do it justice. But I'm going to give you one little nugget out of here. Just one. Because y'all looking at me like I got to give it to you. Y'all didn't want me to close it out with not giving you just a little bit of it, right? Y'all worrying about time. I know y'all. Y'all worrying about it. All right, now, it says, see? Can you see? Can you really see? I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Now let me tell you what told the church up. The next thing he said was to root out. He said the reason y'all been going over and over problems is because you've not had it torn out by the root. You've been cutting it off at the top thinking that you done got rid of the problem, but you didn't get rid of the root cause of the problem. So by not getting down to the root cause of what's causing you the pain and the problem and the issues, then it grows back because you've not got all of it out. You've only just clipped it off and thought everything was going good because you didn't see any more evidence that it was there until it popped back up. And you said, how did I get back into this same situation again? Because you did not let God root it all out. That's all I'm going to give you. I told you I wasn't going to give you but part of it. You mean you don't have enough of what I just told you about the light coming in? You didn't get enough of the fact that God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light and gave you everything that you needed that concerns life and godliness, that you are now equipped, right? Because you got his word in your mouth. Did you not understand that your expectation is too low? Do you not understand that God has got something for you and you got to get out of the way to get it? You got enough. If you digest what I just gave you, it's enough. Trust me, I don't need to go any further in none of these notes. Take that in. Y'all looking at me like, no, Pat, you could just go ahead on and do some more. Take what you got and run with that. Pastor gonna give you the rest. I'm just here to give you a brief recap of what went on in Johannesburg, South Africa. So you know there's more. You already know that. That was just one church. I didn't tell you about the other church. We went to the second church Sunday night. They had 1,800 people in there on a Sunday night. They were praising God like mad people. You're going to see the video. You're going to see the video. When we went in there, you couldn't get to the altar. They were at the altar praising God, dancing. Folk were falling out in the spirit before the service started. I'm telling you, Pastor and I were in the office. He said, my message just changed. I'm telling you, the hair was standing up on my arm. It was so powerful. But it was because they had an expectation that God was going to move in a profound way that night. When 1,900 people show up on fire, God shows up on fire. He don't show up lukewarm. He don't show up weak. When you got 1,900 people jumping, shouting, crying out to the Lord, God is going to show up strong, and he did. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Father, I just thank you that your word has gone forth tonight, that there is evidence that you are yet still God. In you, there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It is you, God, that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is you, God, that have a great expectation for us. It is you, God, that's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. It is you, God, that have empowered us and given us your spirit. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, because the greater one dwells within us. Lord, I thank you that you've given us power to tread over the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, so that no thing shall harm us. We are empowered by you. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your truth, your long suffering. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. God, you are worthy to be praised. King of kings, Lord of lords, Almighty God and Father, healer, redeemer, ever-present help in a time of need, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. You say you shall supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We just love on you because you are holy, righteous, and there is none other like you, Lord God. You're the God that above all gods. Holy, holy, holy is our God. We're going to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We're going to open up our mouths and give him the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are worthy to be praised. Holy God, holy God, holy God. There's none other like you. Oh, we magnify, bless, and praise your holy name. You are worthy, worthy, worthy of all of the praise, honor, glory. I will seek your face in the temple. I will love on you. Hallelujah. Holy is our God. Holy is our God. Holy is our God. Hallelujah. 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 We bless and praise your holy name. Glory be to the God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, don't get tired. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. Oh, no. Oh, he deserved better than that. Oh, he deserved better than that. Oh, he's more worthy than what you doing. Hallelujah. He's worthy of a dance. He's worthy of a praise. He's worthy of a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh my God. It is said that he inhabits the praises of his people. It says that he inhabits the praises of his people. I said, it is said that he inhabits the praises of his people. I need to hear some praise coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid now to praise him. Don't get weak now.
Don't get tired now. You got a lot to be thankful for. Yeah. Yeah. You got a lot to be thankful for. God done bless you abundantly above all that you can ask or think, and you can't open up your mouth and say thank you. I'm talking about he gave you clothes on your back, put some shoes on your feet, and you can't stand up and praise him. It's okay. I ain't trying to make you do nothing. I'm just trying to inform you of the fact that God is able, that God is willing, and God is doing, and he deserves some praise to come out your mouth. God don't have to do that for you. And you don't have no thanksgiving to come out of your mouth. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I'm thankful that we got a place to come and praise and worship the Most High. I'm glad that we got a church where the truth goes forth and ain't nobody playing with your life. That the truth is going forth to make your life better. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. I got a praise for him. Woo. While you're standing, that was one word that I left out that I got for you. But I had to get you ready for it. Pastor said that there needs to be group repentance. Group repentance. That means everybody in the group need to repent. It ain't an individual thing. It's a group thing. We all are part of the group. And then when you look back over your life and you start to think, you already know it's some things that you need to repent for. And so when we come in a group gathering, there need to be some repentance going forth as a group. So I want you to take some time now and reflect on that area in your life that you need to repent about. You know where you done been short. You know where you've been falling. You know where that weak spot is. I don't have to call it out. I can, because it's an anointing there to do that. But you need to know for yourself and own up to it and grab it by the root and pull it up. Do y'all hear me? You need to pull it up by the root. Did you not read what it said? He said he gave you the power to go to the nation and root it out. Then he said to throw it down. Then he said you got to destroy it so it won't come back. So we're going to have this group repentance right now. But see the vision of this church. Let us see through your eyes our pastor. And the words that come out of his mouth that you put in there. We thank you for him. We know that he's going to be well. We believe in that no weapon formed against him shall prosper.